the book of Philemon today. It's just one chapter, so we'll do one study. And let's pray. Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul, well, before we begin, let me just give you a quick overview. The book of Philemon is named after one of the main characters. Philemon was a wealthy man, a Christian, a good man. And like many people in his day, he had servants. One of his servants was a fellow by the name of Onesimus. Onesimus was not a Christian. He ran away, and while he was gone, he met up with the Apostle Paul, who was in prison for his faith. Of course, when you meet the Apostle Paul, you're going to hear about Jesus. Onesimus did, and he ended up receiving Jesus Christ. Because he received Christ, he then decided that he needed to do the right thing, quit being a rebel, and return to his master, Philemon. The Apostle Paul wrote this letter to Philemon to tell him what was going on, and to encourage him to receive Onesimus as a repenting Christian and no longer a runaway slave. And so, with that quick overview, let's begin in verse 1. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker. Philemon is called a fellow worker. He is a co-worker with Paul and Timothy and Jesus. He and Paul and Timothy all worked for God. Philemon was not an apostle like Paul. He was not a pastor like Timothy. But he was a Christian. And a Christian works for God. And a Christian serves God. No matter who their human boss might be. Verse 2. To Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker, to Apphia, our sister, to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home. Churches often met in homes in those early days. They really didn't have any choice. They didn't have buildings like today. And as the church grew, many cities had several small churches, and each had their own pastor, and many met in homes. And the church that Philemon attended met in a home, possibly his home. Verse 3, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The typical greeting of the Apostle Paul. He says, grace to you and peace from God our Father. God is our Father because He made us and because He loves us. It's not enough for a father just to bring a new life into the world. A father is also responsible for caring for that new life, providing for, training his children as well, and disciplining. And God our Father does all those things. He brought us into the world, gave us life, provides for us, trains us, disciplines us. And like a good father, He enjoys us too. That's part of being a father too, enjoying your children. Verse 4, I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers. Paul prayed for Philemon. He prayed for everybody. Everybody that he knew, everybody that was a part of his ministry in any way, he prayed for them. Paul always prayed for the people that were saved through his ministry, and for the people who were a part of the churches that he started as well. If somebody was brought across Paul's path, they could count on being on his prayer list. They would be prayed for. There's no question about it. And it's good to pray for those who are part of your life. That's a good thing. Even if God just brings them into your life briefly, pray for them. And if you don't know exactly what to pray for, don't worry about it. Just pray general things for them. The Holy Spirit will fill in the details. Verse 5. Let's read 4 along with it. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. And that sums up Philemon. Faith in Jesus and love for all the saints. Saving faith and love for saints goes together. Love for other Christians and saving faith are inseparable. And Philemon was an unselfish man, because that's what love means. It means to be unselfish. He loved Christians. And by that, he loved Jesus Christ. And through that, he showed that his faith was saving faith. Verse 6, I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith, so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Personal evangelism, sharing your faith in Christ, makes your life in Christ come alive. That's when you really begin to enjoy Christ, is when you share Him with others. And Philemon was the type of guy who shared Jesus, not only with his words, but also by the way he lived. The world looked at Philemon's life and they saw Jesus. He was a living testimony. His love for Jesus, his love for other Christians was a living testimony. God was using this good Christian to communicate to the world that he made. God was using this good Christian to communicate to the world that he died to save from hell. And he could use it because he was a good man. And Jesus says we are to live holy, so that people will see our good works and glorify God as a result of that. Doesn't matter what we get from being holy. Oh, we get blessed if we're holy. The joy of the Lord. And we get to be used by God. And we can live a rich, full life if we are holy, not to mention eternal rewards. But really, that's secondary. It doesn't matter what we get from being holy. The important thing is what God is able to accomplish through us for His glory when we are holy. Verse 7. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement, because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints. And that made Paul happy. See, Philemon refreshed the hearts of the saints. That's how he loved God's people. He was a blessing to them. Philemon was a pretty wealthy fellow, and he used his wealth to help other Christians. And that made Paul happy. It made Paul happy because that is the sort of thing which makes Jesus happy. And when Jesus is happy, those who love Him are happy. The closer we are to Christ, the less we are concerned about self, and the more we are concerned about Jesus. The less we're concerned about ourselves, the more we're concerned about others, especially Jesus. Verse 8, therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, and he could too. I'll tell you what, the apostles had authority. And it was real authority. God-given, Jesus-given authority. And not just to speak with authority, but to back those words up with action. Paul was an apostle. And so he could order Philemon to do what should be done. He reminds Philemon of this thing, this authority. You know, the apostles, Jesus gave them power to bind and loose, to forgive sins, and to withhold forgiveness. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. If you forgive anyone their sins, they are forgiven. If you retain their sins, they are retained, Jesus said. Tremendous power the apostles had, and it was real. Their decisions would be backed by God in heaven. And that's power. So, there's real authority there. That's how Paul was able to strike certain people who opposed the gospel with blindness, and they were blind. And Paul, if need be, would use that power to serve the cause of Christ any way he had to. And so it says in verse 8 and 9, "Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I appeal to you on the basis of love. I then, as Paul, an old man, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ." He says, "I've got authority, and I could use it." And sometimes a pastor has to use his God-given authority as well. He doesn't have the authority of an apostle, but sometimes a pastor has to lay down the law to protect the people. Lay down the law when there's blatant sin. Lay down the law where there's false teaching. Put an end to it. So sometimes you have to be strong and forceful, but it is always best to be able to simply give out the truth and allow the Holy Spirit to work in the souls of those who hear. Be patient and allow the Holy Spirit to work in the souls of those who hear. And so the apostle, he could command, but instead he's going to instruct. He will instruct Philemon. And he wants him to do what is right, because it is right. Not because he's commanded to do it. 10. "I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains." Remember I said Onesimus, Philemon's servant, ran away. And he happened to run right into the Apostle Paul when Paul was in prison. I don't know how he got there, but somehow he ended up getting saved. Onesimus, servant of Philemon. He ran to Paul. God had the whole thing under his control, and he ended up getting saved. And I suppose Philemon is probably upset that his servant ran away. That wasn't the right thing for Onesimus to do. He ran away, and it was costing Philemon productivity. It's costing him some money. And Paul will try to calm Philemon down. He's upset. He has a right to be upset. But Philemon also needs to remember that, sure, he was not treated with the respect that he deserved, but neither was Jesus. Philemon needs to remember that. Everyone needs to remember that Jesus was not treated with the respect that he deserved either. Look at 10 and 11. "I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly, he was useless to you, but now he has become useful, both to you and to me." Now, it is true, Onesimus gets saved when he meets Paul. That's true, and that's great. But the apostle did not side with the runaway. He did not say, "Well, it's no big deal." He did not side with him. It was wrong. He says what he did was useless or unprofitable. In other words, wrong. What he did was wrong. He used to be wrong. However, says Paul, he's been saved from hell. Paul wants Philemon to put everything in proper perspective. Not that Onesimus should be dismissed as having done nothing wrong. That's not the issue. But Paul wants Philemon to realize that the most important thing is that Onesimus is now a soul who has been saved from hell. He's not going to go to hell. That's where the focus needs to be. Not on how he mistreated Philemon. Verse 12, I am sending him, who is my very heart, back to you. Paul will send him back. Not in chains, but as a child of God. And as a spiritual brother to Philemon. Paul will send him back because it's the right thing to do. And Onesimus will do the correct thing and return of his own free will. And now Philemon must do the correct thing also and receive Onesimus in a nice way. Let's look at 12 and 13. I'm sending him, who is my very heart, back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I'm in chains for the gospel. Remember I said Philemon, well, the Bible says that Philemon was a loving fellow. He loved Christians. He was a very helpful man. And certainly, since Philemon is the type of Christian who loved to help others, if he could have, he would have helped the Apostle Paul while he was in his chains. If Philemon would have been where Paul was, he would have helped Paul. No question about it. But he wasn't. Onesimus, on the other hand, was a help to Paul because he was where Paul was. But Paul would sacrifice that help in order to return him to Philemon. He would sacrifice in order to do the right thing. Philemon lost when Onesimus ran away. Onesimus will lose when he returns. Philemon lost when Onesimus ran away. Onesimus will give up his freedom when he returns. Paul also will give up something. Paul will sacrifice the help Onesimus was to him. And so, sometimes, in order to do the right thing, we must sacrifice. Onesimus will sacrifice. Paul will sacrifice. Everyone is asked to sacrifice something to do things God's way. It's just the way it is. And Philemon must sacrifice too. He must sacrifice his right to be angry and hold a grudge. And so he must welcome the repenting sinner back home. Now, there was no excuse for what he did, but he is repenting. And so now the proper thing to do is to forgive him and to welcome him back, as God forgives us and welcomes us back to him whenever we repent. 14, but I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favor you do will be spontaneous and not forced. The Apostle Paul, what a good man he was. You know, the Bible says that pastors are not to lord it over their flocks, but to be an example. Paul says, you know, I could command you, but I want you to do the right thing because it's the right thing. I don't want to do anything without your consent, so that what you do will be spontaneous, Philemon. That's the way God wants it. Being saved by grace apart from the law means we cannot earn our salvation by doing good works. We can't earn our salvation by doing good works. That means we get to do good because it is good, not because we do good to be saved. When a person is forced to do something, they're no longer doing it out of love for Jesus Christ. And then Jesus gets robbed of the glory that he receives from something like that. 15. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back for good. In other words, maybe it was God's will for Onesimus to leave. You know, Onesimus did the wrong thing by running away, but God often uses bad to bring about something good. He is so powerful and so smart that he can squeeze good out of bad. And that's what he did in this case. Hey, Onesimus came to Christ while he was gone. And now he's going to return a brother to Philemon, and probably a much better servant than he ever was in the past. Because now, as he serves Philemon, he's going to have Jesus in mind. He's going to do his best for the glory of Christ. So Paul's looking on the bright side. He's not overlooking the trouble, but he is seeing Jesus in the midst of the trouble. He used to do that all the time. He got plenty of practice because he was in a lot of trouble. But he would look for Jesus in his trouble. And that's what we need to do. It's good to look for Christ in the midst of our problems, in the midst of our hard times. Looking for ways that Jesus is using our troubles makes it easier to understand and to cope. Look at 15 and 16. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back for good, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a man and as a brother in the Lord. Notice how Jesus changed Onesimus, the runaway slave, when he got saved. He's no longer a rebel. Notice how Jesus changes a person when they get saved. And that change is especially noticeable when they are saved as an adult. They no longer want to be a rebel. Anyone who doesn't think that receiving Christ and experiencing the new birth is a real thing, you don't think that's a real thing? You're wrong. It is a real thing. It changes people. Jesus changes people. It changed Onesimus from a rebel who ran away to a submissive servant who was going back of his own free will. Jesus saves rebels. But once he saves them, they don't stay rebellious. Oh, we all rebel from time to time, do the wrong thing. I'm talking about living in rebellion, though. As a general manner of life, it's just not going to be that way if a person is a Christian. And so, I've heard people say this, and it's really kind of tragic. Someone says, well, my teenage son, they prayed and they received Christ, you know, when they were 7 years old or 8 or 9 years old. Oh, and I know they're saved because they prayed. They prayed the sinner's prayer. I know they're saved. No doubt about it. I heard them pray the sinner's prayer. Or I've seen them get confirmed. Or I saw them get baptized. Oh, they're Christian. Yeah, because they prayed that prayer. I know that. It's just that they don't give two bits about God. And they're always rebelling against me, and they never obey me, and they're always smarting off. Oh, but I know they're saved because they prayed that prayer. I wouldn't bet on it. Rebels aren't saved. Rebels are like Onesimus. They repent. Verse 17, so if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. In other words, as a favor to Paul. He asked Philemon to welcome Onesimus back. Notice how the apostle is trying so hard to help Onesimus. Just welcome him back, Philemon. He's trying so hard to help this guy. He doesn't deserve it. He's a runaway slave. He doesn't deserve any help. But Paul had a close walk with Jesus Christ, and a close walk with Christ makes people compassionate and helpful, even to those who are undeserving. Verse 18 says, if he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. Now, I don't know. Onesimus might have stolen some money when he ran away, or something else of value that he could trade in to live off of. Paul says, don't let that stop you from receiving him, Philemon. I mean, if it means that much to you, I will pay you back. And then he says in verse 19, he adds this, I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back. Not to mention that you owe me your very self. I'll pay the difference, says Paul. And then he adds, of course, Philemon, you'd be going to hell if I had not told you about Christ, so I think you probably would agree that you owe me. The fact that we will not burn in hell because of what Jesus did for us has a way of putting other troubling issues in proper perspective. I mean, you can have everything go wrong in a day that could possibly go wrong. I mean, just have one of them bad ones. But all you have to do is think about the fact that you're not going to hell. And you can feel good. Things just aren't that important in light of hell. 20. I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. In other words, don't disappoint me. Refresh my heart. In other words, what he is saying is, I'll be happy if you forgive and receive Onesimus. Paul is saying, I blessed you by giving you Christ. Now you bless me by acting like Christ. And I'll be blessed and I'll be happy if you do. And until we find joy in the things that make Christ happy, things like showing compassion to one who has repented, we are not at all the way we should be. 21. Confident of your obedience, I write to you knowing that you will do even more than I ask. Confident of your obedience. Paul does mention the word obedience, just as a reminder to Philemon, that Paul speaks with the authority of Jesus Christ as an apostle. But authority or not, a Christian who loves God does not need to be commanded to do the right thing. They want to do the right thing. And not just enough to barely get by, either. They want to do their best for Jesus. Not just enough to get by, but their best. And the apostle is confident that Philemon is that kind of Christian. 22. And one thing more. Prepare a guest room for me, because I hope to be restored to you in answer to your prayers. Nero was jailing Christians and killing them as fast as he could. And Paul was one of those who were in jail waiting to be executed. But he says, your prayers can get me out of this mess. That's how powerful prayer is. Prayer can get people out of huge messes. It can even get the Apostle Paul out of jail when Nero has sentenced him to death. That's the power of prayer. Those who say that we need more than prayer in Scripture today, because our problems are greater than what they used to be. You know, in times past, I hear people say this, in times past, Christians, you know, their problems weren't so complicated so that, you know, the Word of God in prayer was sufficient, but, oh, today, you know, they're much more complicated. We need psychotherapy and all sorts of other things. People who say that have blown their problems way out of proportion. People say, well, I was verbally abused. The Word of God isn't sufficient, and prayer is not sufficient because I was verbally abused as a child. You know, I'm not suggesting that being verbally abused is a little thing. I was too. Probably everybody was, to one degree or another, and it can leave some scars, and it can be a terrible thing. But if you told some Christians from the last 2,000 years that the Word of God was not sufficient and prayer was not sufficient because you're dealing with this huge problem of being verbally abused, I think some of those Christians would stare in unbelief. Verbally abused? Well, yeah, that's not a good thing, but countless Christians were crucified, dipped in tar and burned as a torch, sawn in two, tortured, burned alive, beheaded, you name it, for their faith in Jesus Christ. And the Word of God was sufficient for them, and prayer was sufficient for them. It is sufficient today. And Paul says, I think your prayers, he didn't say I think, so your prayers have the power to get me out of this mess. And then verse 23, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner for Christ Jesus, sends you greeting. So do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers, grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. And that ends the words of the Apostle Paul as far as we are concerned. Next time, the book of Hebrews. Until then, so long, everyone.